Call the meeting to order. First item of business, could somebody approve the minutes? All right, so thank you. Representative Vogel moves the minutes dated May 3rd. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Very nice. What we're going to do, Representative Mullery is here. Would you like to make your way up, my friend? Representative Anderson.
Mr. Chair, thank you. I'd like to move House File 1098 for possible inclusion in the Omnibus Ag Bill.
Thank you. Representative Mullery, welcome to the committee.
Thank you.
So enjoy seeing your smiling face here.
I see that Representative Gunther must have kicked you or something.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So, you know, he's pretty unruly as well.
Mr. Chair, I haven't been in this committee, I don't think, since my first term.
Yeah?
And actually, I was one of the few to have a hearing in my district from Minneapolis or St. Paul. They came up to, the whole committee came up to my district, and it was over flower beetles. And actually, the city had been trying to fix it for 12 years. Nothing was done, and when the committee came up, suddenly you got the agriculture department in, and they had it fixed in 6 months. So my past results are great.
That's fantastic. So, well, once again, welcome.
Thank you. Should I just go ahead then?
Yes, if you would, please. Explain the bill.
Mr. Chair and members, basically this is just an antiquated law that we're getting rid of. Back in the early part of the last century, there was a lot of, they called it dog napping, and people were stealing pets and things from people's homes. And so what happened, they were selling it to the university for research. And so a lot of states put in what they call pound seizure laws. So after 5 days, I believe it was, the pound, like if you captured a loose dog or something, it would go to the city pound. And then after 5 days, it would have to go to the research institution. And then now research institutions no longer want those kind of dogs. They want to raise them and have control over them so that they know a lot about the dogs they're doing research on. And so everybody but Minnesota and Oklahoma, all the other states, had these laws, and we just haven't gotten it off the books yet. And so all this would do would be repeal that fact that it had to go to the university afterwards and after 5 days. And this would just say they can't, these pets that are captured because running around can't be used for research anymore. And so the pounds will place them up for adoption or something like that. And I know both in the Senate, both Minneapolis and St. Paul, the pounds testified in favor of it. And we have the university here this morning to testify that they have no opposition to it. And I don't know if you want to spend time going over it. The Animal Humane Society is here, Mr. Goldman, but and the university is here. Depends on how much time you want to spend on that.
Thank you. I think what we'll do is if you'd like to offer up some testimony, we'll take testimony now. Please state your name, who you represent for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, my name is Howard Goldman. I'm the Minnesota State Director for the Humane Society of the United States.
Welcome.
Thank you. And I'll make my remarks brief. I mean, we've got a full agenda. The purpose of the bill, as Representative Mullery said, is simply to protect pets. This is not an anti-research bill. It won't affect medical research in any way. The university does not oppose the bill. They haven't used pound animals in many years. And Mr. Iverson is here from the university to answer any questions the members may have about the research program. It, as Representative Mullery said, was enacted in 1949, and it's just no longer necessary. The Minnesota Animal Control Association supports this bill. The Minnesota Humane Society, the largest shelter in the state, the Animal Humane Society, Duluth Humane Society, all support passage of the bill. There is a sign at the Animal Pound in St. Paul on Beulah Avenue, right across from Lake Como, where it states, if you turn your animal in here or we find a lost or stray pet, it may be used for research. And of course, we'd like to see that sign come down. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right. Thank you. So how about from the university? Do you support this or in opposition of? Please state your name for the record.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Todd Iverson, Assistant Director for Government Relations at the University of Minnesota, and we have no opposition to this bill. Quite frankly, we haven't used pound seizure animals for a very long time in our research, and so it's one of those things that has just been on the books for a long time.
Okay. I believe I'll have a couple of questions, but I believe we have an amendment. Representative Anderson, do you have an amendment?
Mr. Chair, yes, I would offer the DE1 amendment to get the bill in the proper order that the author would like.
Okay. I'm sorry, Representative Mullery, I should have called on that to begin with. You want to explain the amendment here briefly?
Mr. Chair, all it does is it puts it into the form. There was some criminal penalties and things that really we didn't want in there. So this just says things that records that they have to keep, and then it says that they can't use the animals for research, but they can take them for sterilization or veterinary care.
Okay. All right. So Representative Anderson moves the DE1 amendment. Is there any other discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Representative Mullery and to the testifiers, Is time of the essence on this bill? And the reason I ask, you said it's been on the books here for a while. And Mr. Goldman, I've had some conversations with you and some others, and I know Representative Kath had a very nice conversation with him as far as pet breeder language, and I have a few bills as well that have been introduced. And I'm wondering if it would be better suited if we all got together and addressed it as a big picture, if you will. Address some of these items, address some of the other concerns about trespassing, address concerns about whether it's registration, and to take a look at it on a larger scheme of things, if you will. Your comments.
Mr. Chair, I would not probably be overjoyed with that. It passed unanimously in the sitting committee. This is just we're getting rid of an old law that really doesn't make sense anymore. The issues that you're bringing up are things that aren't exactly old, antiquated things that have no controversy over them. I would prefer that this just get out of the way and let the people, we won't use the word fight, but strongly discuss the other bills. I just don't think we need to get tied up in that. Things that I've heard about quite a bit of controversy over the years here.
Point well taken. To the university, this has been in law since 1949. Is it time of the essence for you to move this through as well, or you can live another year or so?
Mr. Chairman, this makes no difference to us.
Okay.
So we were asked if we opposed or supported the bill, and we're neutral on the bill. It has no effect on us.
Okay. Any other? Representative Szymanski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In reading the DE1 amendment, Representative Mullery, all animals seized by public authority must be held in an establishment. Are we talking just about pound animals, cats and dogs, or are we talking about horses on a ranch or anything like that? What's the scope of this bill?
Representative Mullery.
Mr. Chair and Representative Szymanski, can I let Mr. my understanding was dogs and cats, I thought, but
Mr. Goldman.
Yes, that's the intent of the bill, is to apply specifically to dogs and cats.
Okay. Representative Szymanski, follow up.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I was looking for a research staff for clarification on that point.
And I believe Mr. Sullivan is probably putting together some amendments for us. But
All right. I'll
just hold off for now.
Spend my questioning at this time.
Thank you. Representative Poppy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have a question. In line 1.12, it talks about the establishment must hold the animal for at least 5 regular business days. And then 2.10 and 2.22, it talks about that the owner could be reclaimed, and that's maybe a dangerous dog. It's a little bit different, but within 7 days. And I'm just wondering if there's a, if that's a bit contradictory, and if it, if you hold it for 5 days, and then on the other side, somebody, you know, the dangerous dog piece wants to 7 days. Does that make sense,
Mr. Chair?
President Mueller.
President Poppy, can I?
Yes, you want to?
You're working off. What line were you on?
I'm on the D1.
You said line 1.2.
1.2?
Delete.
1.12.
Oh, 1.12.
Mm-hmm. Where it talks about the all animals seized must be held for redemption by the owner for at least 5 regular business days. And then if you look at 2.10 and 2.22, and that's maybe talking about dangerous dogs, but there it's saying that the dog could be disposed of within 7 days if it's not claimed. And I'm just wondering if that discrepancy could cause problems for the establishment and or the pet owner.
Representative Mueller.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Poppy, we're trying not to change any other laws. That's what's in the dangerous dog statute, and we're trying not to change anything else. Do you see any discrepancy? I don't see any problem.
Mr. Golden. Mr. Chair, Representative Poppy, that has not proved to be a problem at all with the either Animal Care and Control of Minneapolis or St. Paul. So we didn't change those provisions at all.
President Poppy?
Mr. Chair, okay, so you must have really good record keeping, so you know that this is just an ordinary dog and this is the dangerous dog, and the ordinary dog you hold on to for 5 days, dangerous dog for 7. Is that, I mean, I'm not trying to say that there's anything wrong with this. I'm just wondering why the discrepancy between the 5 regular days and the 7 regular days, and if that could cause problems. I'm just raising an issue of potentiality here of problems.
Right.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Poppy, we don't have, he's supposedly on his way, the head of St. Paul Animal Control, and he could explain this, but I'm sure from working with the Minneapolis one that they keep very close records of dangerous dogs. That's a huge problem in our city, and so they do keep absolute records on dangerous dogs, so it wouldn't be a problem of keeping track of which one's a dangerous dog and which one isn't held for that reason.
Yeah. Follow-up, Representative Poppy?
Probably just me, then a little overly concerned about, yeah, especially maybe the pet owners, you know, if there's
right
concerned about, you know, that the dangerous dogs get to be held for 7 days, but the other dogs are held for 5 days.
Right. It is a good point. Representative Lemire.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to clarify, I think after 7 days, they dispose of the animal, and after 5 days, I don't know what they do after 5 days, but they don't dispose of the animal after 5 days, but the dangerous dogs, they dispose of them after 7 days.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair.
Representative Mueller.
Representative Lemire is correct on that. And basically, after the 5 days, they try to put them up for adoption.
All right. Thank you. Any further questions or discussion? All right. Representative Anderson, this bill will be laid over for possible inclusion, so as amended. So I thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Let's see. All right. I will like to move that House File 1611. And where's this one that's going to have to go? It all depends. We're going to, I tell you what, I'm just going to move House File 1611 to get it before us. Depending on how the amendments go, and the discussion here will depend on the route of the bill. All right, Representative Eakin, you okay with that?
That's right.
And so, members, I think everybody should have your bill left over in your packet if you saved it. All right, members, we do have a couple of amendments to go through here as well. Ms. Gauthier is okay. So, Ms. Gauthier, would you like to make your way up front? And I know you wanted to address a few things as we got started here as well. So, once again, just please state your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Greta Gauthier, Department of Agriculture. Yes, Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to correct the record. Yesterday when I gave testimony regarding the bonding portion of our bill that had some civil issues, our food bill, which you're going to be hearing tomorrow, also has some civil issues. And I gave you the testimony for tomorrow yesterday. And I apologize. I would be happy to stand for questions of any of that. There are, I know House staff has done a great side-by-side, and a great section-by-section. And I have our attorney here if people want to ask questions. There's some different nuances between the two bills, although they both do deal with the realm of civil law, of which I am not an expert, I confess. So thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to be clear that I had misspoken. I'd be happy to handle questions or speak with people individually if there's some clarity issues that need to be resolved.
So. Well, thank you for that as well. I know that we've got a number of things moving through here, and accidents happen. There's no problem with that.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay, members, what we'll do is, after the testimony from yesterday, I'm going to move the A4 amendment. And the A4 amendment deals with the bonding on the grain side of things. You heard the testimony. The testifier did state that this is something that they can live with and support as well. That's what I took home from the testimony. Mr. Friesel, I don't know if you have anything additional to add to this amendment. If you'd like to just make your way down here, please, and in case we have any questions or comments, I would like to say once again on record, thank you for listening to our concerns early on and working with us on this, and I appreciate that. So the A4 amendment, do you have any additional anything to add, I guess, at this point in time?
Mr. Chair, members, thank you, and I appreciate the chance to come back again. We did went back after committee hearing yesterday. There were some questions, and we put together a handout. I hope everybody got a copy. So we pulled out an actual example of a real-world situation, and we plugged in what the Plan B, which is what the amendment creates. And in this situation, the elevator would be required to have a $306,000 bond starting the year. Under the proposed amendment, they would now have a yearly bond of $225,000 a year. So there is a reduction for the elevator. And in addition, I guess I'd point out that there's an elimination of the monthly reporting and also an elimination of the annual fiscal report. I also wanted to mention on page 3, I had you had asked about how other states do bonding, and so we did investigate a few other surrounding states, and I just point out that in Iowa, they have bonding requirements for $1,000 for every $5,000 of grain stored, from $3,000 up to with no maximum. In Minnesota, there's a $500,000 maximum. South Dakota is fairly similar to Minnesota, with the exception they have bonding requirements for each location. And in Minnesota, it's just for the entity, so there could be multiple locations, so we max out at $500,000. And then Illinois and Wisconsin are two states that have a different sort of way of doing things, and they approach it by using an insurance fund or an indemnity fund. And then on the last page, I just wanted to we tried to put together a state-by-state comparison, which we hope are helpful for the members, to show what kinds of bonds would be required for various grain storage amounts. I do want to be a little bit cautious in that we have not had an opportunity to verify these figures with Iowa and South Dakota. So we gathered this just based off of what we could find off their website. So.
And I believe Representative Szymanski had that question yesterday. Does that answer your question as far as what other states were doing? I believe you brought that up. So, okay. Members, any other discussion on the A4 amendment? Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you. I like your testimony, short and sweet. Yeah. All right. Okay, little sidebar conversation, everybody. I'm going to move the A3 amendments. The A3 amendment, and I was just talking with Representative Eakin. He's getting up with some of his folks as well, see if any other amendments. This amendment, you know what, I'm going to call it. Representative Morrow, you made a motion to temporarily suspend the rules. You care doing that
again? I will make that motion to suspend the rules, Mr. Chair.
All right, any discussion? Temporarily suspend the rules. Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. On the A3 amendment, what we did is I'm put in here as far as some of the bills that we had heard previously, brought them forward. I would like the department to comment on some of these. We'll get to that as well. I did meet with a number of folks from the department, the commissioner as well, to talk about these. There's also, we are taking a look at the potential of having to go through tax committee, and I'm going to want, and I see a few people shaking their heads, they don't want to go that direction. So if we would, what I'd like to do is break this down. The first one was the horse breeders. We're going to come back to that one, okay? Members, we're going to come back to that one. The second one was Representative Paul Anderson's, the Organization for the Dairy Research and Training. So if we could have the dairy folks make their way down here, please, because I believe there is one provision in here that the department as well brought a concern about tax implications. And the way I understand it is you would not need this provision in here at this point in time. So please, if you'd state your name for the record, who you represent, and speak to that if you would, please.
Mr. Chairman, members, my name is Kevin Wally, representing Minnesota Milk Producers. The provision that the Department of Revenue identified is on page 5 of the amendment. Section 34 provides a property tax exemption for property that would become under the ownership of this new authority. And this is property that hasn't even been identified as yet, and so we could forego that exemption entirely. That particular section 34, could be stricken, and it would avoid this being a reason for the bill to go to tax committee.
Okay. Any discussion, members? Any discussions on that piece? And then at a later date, my question would be, at a later date, if we held off next year or whatever the case may be, that would be adequate in your mind?
Mr. Chairman, members, yes, that would be adequate, and it would, our coming back to the tax committee in that case would be based on the property that had been identified and whether the property was going to be leased or purchased, and there'd be other considerations. But that might not even be an issue that we would bring to your committee. It would more likely go straight to taxes.
Okay. And just hold up. Stay right there because I got another question. But I'm going to move that we strike Section 34, lines 5.4 through 5.7. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. My question then is, this is, if we put this language in here, there's no cost, you said this once before, no cost to the state. This would allow you to get organized and get working on this project. But again, no cost to the state. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, members, that is correct.
Okay. So, members, do you have any questions to this area? Hearing none. Thank you so much for your testimony.
Thank you.
All right. So that's from there to... All right, so we will roll to the next piece. The definitions. Let's move to section 38, members, and talk on that. It'd be start on lines 5.8 through 5.16. And I believe this was brought forth by the department as well. Ms. Gauthier, it's a simple definition.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Greta Gauthier, Department of Agriculture. Yes, Mr. Chairman, you are correct. This was actually brought to us by the industry, asking that there be a definition in the statute for biobutanol and for biobutanol facility. As the members are aware, the former ethanol plant, or the ethanol plant in Luverne, Minnesota, has been purchased by a company that intends to retrofit it for the production of biobutanol from corn at this point. But in the future, it's anticipated that biobutanol could be made from other sources, and you'll see those potentials listed there in the statute, in the proposed language.
All right, thank you.
And I'd be happy to answer questions. Mr. Chairman, we also have our renewable fuel staff here.
Okay, any questions to that section, members? Hearing none. Since we have you up there, can we continue rolling on through?
All right.
Section 39 was a bill that was brought forward by Representative Paul Anderson as well on blender pumps for ethanol biofuels with the blender pumps. The one question that I do have, and maybe I would ask staff and Mr. Sullivan to speak on this as well, talking with Representative Anderson, they had a concern about the sunset clause that expired, and I believe that was put in the omnibus bill, took Senate language on that, from 2013 through 2015. Mr. Sullivan, do we have, what concerns would we have by not extending that? Would we be able to accomplish what it is that Representative Anderson wants to accomplish if we don't disrupt what we just went through with the Senate, if we kept that at 2013, or is there a reason why we do have to move that to 2015?
Mr. Chair and members, I don't think there's a need necessarily to do this. The legislature appropriated money for these purposes for the next biennium, but June 30th, 2013 is the last day of the next biennium, so as is, then there's no absolute need to extend the sunset date right now.
Okay. All right. So thank you. And the reason Ms. Gauthier.
Mr. Chairman, this provision we're referring to now, Section 40, was brought to our attention by stakeholders who were concerned. The concern was that the Agri Fund, which is what we're talking about here, will continue. If you recall back to our budget discussions when we showed the tails and all those spreadsheets for the next biennium, fiscal years 14-15, we showed a $10.250 million per year as the base moving forward for Agri. So stakeholders of the Department of Ag were saying, well, this is the authorizing language for Agri. We want it to continue, knowing that the governor's plan is for that base to be there.
Yes.
And I agree. We agreed with them. That makes sense.
Okay.
That way we know that the program would continue beyond 2013. But is there a dire need to do it? No. But some stakeholders had thought that it might be a good idea to put that in there just to recognize that the intention is there is a base that will be there and that this program will still be around when that base, in fact, does come into reality.
Okay, so the department does see value in that. By extending it, most
yes.
definitely.
Yes, Mr.
And
Chair.
As far as the language about the biofuel blender pumps, I know we had a conversation in the office as well, but the department is okay with how that language reads as well.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we support the language in Section 39.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Any questions on Section 39 and Section 40? No. We have a lively bunch today. We have you. I think what we'll do then, Ms. Gauthier, or with the department up there, let's talk about the next section as well. And we may have some additional testifiers on the aquatic application of pesticides, Section 41. And I believe we have a little bit of peace in the valley. Is that correct?
So, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I can see the peace on the horizon, I think.
Yeah.
I'd like to ask our Assistant Commissioner Matt Woolman, who's been working very closely on this for the past few days. I noticed that the bill author, Representative Paul Anderson, is not here at the moment. But many stakeholders have been working with Representative Anderson to find some common ground on this issue, and we are moving closer and closer.
So, Deputy Commissioner, Assistant Commissioner, welcome. Please state your name for the record and begin.
Thank you. I'm Matt Woolman. I'm the Assistant Commissioner for the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. And Greta is correct. We've been working with a number of different stakeholders, including the agencies and industry stakeholder groups, representatives on this issue. And I think my recommendation would be at this time is if you could put some placeholder language in your bill. I think there's been a lot of really good progress over the last few days where I think we could probably have some language for the committee's consideration during the conference.
Well, Assistant Commissioner, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate that. Any questions, members? Any questions? We've made a lot of ground here, I think. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. So that is on Section 41 of the bill. Section 42.
Mr. Chairman,
yes,
if I might just also on Section 60, I believe, and Sections. Perhaps staff can confirm, Mr. Chairman, I believe Section 60 on page 7 is the other part of Representative Paul Anderson's bill on this subject.
Okay.
So Section 60, which actually the language, it starts at the bottom of page 7 and then continues
yes.
over onto the top of page 8. That is the Section 1
yes.
of Representative Anderson's bill, and then Section 2 of Representative Anderson's bill would be on page 5, starting at 526.
Okay.
Just to make sure that both people know both parts are present in this bill.
Okay, and so just once again, the department's okay. We'll continue as we move forward with this language. And
Mr. Chairman, we would like to keep this language here as placeholder.
Okay, thank you so
Mr.
much.
Chairman.
Don't run away.
Oh,
all right,
okay, Mr. Chairman.
The other questions that I have for the farm disposal of solid waste, it'd be on page 7, starting on lines 7.3. Met with a number of the stakeholders, and I know this passed, and it was in our omnibus bill that the governor did sign into law, and they came back, a number of farmers and whatnot, said this is great, but can we make this effective immediately, you know, whether they want to start doing this now before they plant, you know, get in the fields or whatever the case may be. Would you like to comment on that?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We support this this change, which would be line 7.32, the effective date. It gives people more time it gives people an opportunity to have the conditions that are now in current law apply to what work that they are doing.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And the other one would be section 42, line 6.3 through 6.18. And that was the testimony that we took on the pasture. And I know we had a conversation about this as well prior to, and I went back on, looked it up in statute and talked about, the question was brought up earlier about why 6.7 and 6.8. And this would This is because it is sunset. It ran out after 10 years, and this would extend the pastures, the definitions of the pastures, as far as who would qualify under this. And the definition, as you can see, you know, we're talking about the whole, the corn stalks and et cetera, et cetera. So you have any comments on that, or Ms. Gauthier?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. We've had discussions at our offices about this, and the commissioner had several discussions with agency staff in our agency and in other agencies, and we don't have a problem with this language.
Okay. Thank you so much. This is going great, you know? Doesn't everybody just love being on this committee? Huh? Man, this is fantastic. All right, the other two, I think, that we have to go over this is with AURI. Do we have Ms. Paris? Thank you, Ms. Gauthier. Don't go too far away, all right? We might need you.
No, Mr. Chairman, I'm
You're great to work with, by the way. So, well, first of all, Ms. Paris, I'm going to ask you to state your name and who you represent for the record, and then we'll start there, all right?
Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Kate Paris. I'm with the Agricultural Utilization Research Institute.
So, welcome. And she is the proud parent of a new little baby boy.
Yes.
Baby boy?
Yep, baby boy. Jack Thomas was born on January 29th, a few days after I was in committee. So,
yeah.
I'm smaller than I was last time I was here.
And being a parent is what? What did you say?
Sweet, sweet, sweet. I love it. And it's my favorite job I've had so far. So thank you, Chairman and members.
Congratulations. That's fantastic. Fantastic. Now, we have some language, and I need to find, there it is.
Yep.
Members, this is on page 6, and starting in lines 6.19 through 6.34. And I had a very nice conversation with Ms. Paris the last couple of days about this. And the reason this was put in is we had talked with the Dairy Development Group about a reporting structure back. We had lengthy conversations with, like, the Veterinarian Diagnostic Lab. And the whole point was if we have a number of new legislators, and if we don't have the ability to understand it, or if we don't understand it, we have a difficult time explaining it. And so I was looking at how can we do this, because we're not questioning the good work that's done or anything like that. We are, again, wanting to be as informed as we possibly can so that we can defend these and again, just understand this. Through the conversations that we had had is myself on the board now, and so I'm privy to some additional information that others may not for proprietary reasons or whatever the case may be. But what could we put in place to where we, because you know, like we had talked about, what could we do as legislators to be able to help share the message as well? AURI, we have taken hard looks at the funding and what the original intent was and where do we go from here. And so to open up these lines of conversation to help educate us on this and make sure that people fully understand what the mission is, that we can address any doubters, whatever the case is. That's why I wanted to bring this up. I'm not singling out anybody. That's not the intent. We've done this for others as well. So I'm going to stop right there and let you comment, and then we'll talk about the next action.
Chairman, members of the committee, first and foremost, I want to thank Chairman Hamilton for meeting with me and talking with me. We've had, as he mentioned, good conversations about the committee's objectives here and URI's ability and desire to continue to meet the committee's objectives. AURI does already provide an annual legislative report. It goes to the chairman of the committee of both the House and the Senate, as well as gets filed at the legislative library. In addition, we do an agency profile with a significant amount of measure information, as well as budget information. That is done in the budget years for the organization. In addition, in addition, as Representative Hamilton mentioned, he does serve on the AURI board, and by statute, both the chairman of the House and Senate committees have a seat on the governance board of the organization. My hope is that we would be able to utilize these reporting avenues that are already in place rather than mandating additional reporting in a time of tight fiscal constraints. We want to make sure that what we have is streamlined reporting and that we're meeting your objectives while also maintaining an appropriate level of response to you.
When I was going through and reading some of the reports on the agency profile and some of the measures that you have on here, like the retain of wealth and some of the other items, it was interesting because I was at an Ag Chair meeting, Ag Chair Summit, and they were talking about how a lot of the EDA directors and whatnot are chasing, I think they use smokestacks, running after different companies, trying to get them to come to a community, and a lot of times the neighboring communities are chasing that same business. And what they are saying is you really have to focus on the existing businesses. And it was interesting in here, reading through this, that you have retained wealth, approximately $52.9 million in wealth that was retained by clients by not investing in certain things that weren't going to active from the research that you have done. And my point is, we have heard a lot about some of the small projects, which are good, you know, the niche projects and stuff like that. But there's more to this that a number of people don't have access to, or they haven't recognized, or whatever. And again, if there's a way, and we'll continue working on this, a way that we can continue bringing this to the forefront on what value this brings. The other thing, when I went before the board and was talking about some of the challenges that we have, is that you may have a one set of researchers that will do the work and take the credit for that, and we may have AURI do the work and take the credit for that and point fingers, well, no, I did that, no, we did this over here. And the point that I made to the board is that's very counterproductive, because you have a number of legislators that are saying, well, why are two different entities mm-hmm. doing the same work? And so that's where, again, on the messaging piece, some of this, as long as we have this open dialogue to where we can work through this, and I understand that you collaborate with a lot of the universities and stuff as well. Is that correct?
Yes, Chairman, members of the committee. One of the things that AURI has as a guiding principle is that we try and access the best experts in the state or available to us. So many times that is us, that is our own staff for the projects we're working on. Other times, our expertise needs to be partnered with expertise that is maybe housed at the university or is housed at another institution. So we do the best to get that expertise in the hands of clients in Minnesota.
So, and Ms. Paris, with this and bringing this back to the board, and I will as well, you know, we're all looking, every one of us up in the legislature is looking very hard and what is the return on our investment as a state? And what are we getting out of this? Is this the biggest bang for the buck? And that's where the questionings come in from my part, and if anybody else wants to add in as well. But that's where they're coming from here. And that's where working together, bringing this to the forefront, continue having these conversations, is going to help us be able to defend this or make changes if we need to. Representative Morrow has a question.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. More of just an observation, and I don't disagree with anything you just said. I will note, though, that both MnDOT and MnSCU have given me long spreadsheets of reports and studies that they do that they don't think contribute any value to the state, and wonder if they just rest on the shelf somewhere and cost time and money. I'm not saying of that, of this particular report. I would invite you, though, as chair, and maybe it's an interim type project, to invite the Department of Agriculture or others. Are there reports or studies that they're doing that nobody's looking at that don't seem to bring value to the state and that we might look at eliminating?
Yes. And Representative Morrow, point well taken. Point well taken. And this was the conversation that Ms. Paris and I had. And so what I'm going to do at this point in time, because we have the commitment from you, we have the commitment from the board to where we can continue looking at this and how we can streamline it, I'm going to make the motion to strike Section 5. And it will be, make sure I get this right, lines 6.19 through 6.34. I think I got it. A representative, or Mr. Sullivan.
Mr. Chair, on line 6.17 and 6.8 are the beginning of the instructions to the revisor for that section 2.
All right, thank you for that. So it'd be the motion would be strike 6.17 through 6.34, correct? All right, shaking his head, yes. Any discussion on that, members? Representative Swazinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a question to our testifier. You know, we're talking about the reports. You know, I imagine you guys generate some reports internally when your research is going to leadership and to some of your other industry partners. Is there some way that maybe that could play a part in, you know, as this conversation moves forward or in agreement with the striking of Section 5?
Representative Chairman, there's a few different reports that we're talking about. I think we do a significant amount of research that does generate some research reports and things that we could work on ways to get that to the committee through maybe committee staff and the chairman. In addition, there's some annual reporting that is of a little bit different nature, both of which we'll do our best to get to all members.
Representative Swazinski, follow up. Okay. Any other discussions on my motion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Paris. Congratulations on your little one again. That's fantastic. All right. The what do we have left? We have horses. Is that the only one, members? I think so. All right. Horses. Representative Anderson. Representative Anderson isn't here. On this would take us through the tax committee. We did address the other provision that will keep us from hitting another stop. And I know everybody's extremely overloaded in these other committees as well. Any thoughts on this provision, members? Representative Eakin.
Alan, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I guess, you know, one of the reasons that we struck the other language was because it would take us in the tax committee, and I think that maybe that should be considered in this case as well. I don't know how that affects it as far as, I mean, obviously there's deadlines here that we're pushing up against as well. So I think that would be a factor in our decision here today.
Any further discussion on that? I've had conversations with Representative Anderson, and you know, they've been cordial as well. I'm going to make the motion, House File 1.1, or excuse me, I'll make the motion that I believe it starts on lines 1.0. Representative Sullivan, or Mr. Sullivan, Section 1, 1.3. Is that where I'd start if we're going to strike that language, 1.3 through 1.9?
Mr. Chair, that would be 1.2 through 1.8.
All right. 1.2 through 1.8. Thank you so much. That's the motion to strike that language. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. We do have one other. And it is the language that we heard from Representative Hancock. It'd be on lines 8.11. All right. Oh, this is the repealer. Lines 8.11 through 8.12. This was the repealer language to that obsolete seed law that we took testimony on as well. Is there any discussion on that? Any questions? Nope. All right. Hearing none. So I just wanted to bring that up as well. Mr. Sullivan.
Mr. Chair, one more note. On line 8.9 is the other provision in the horse Representative Anderson bill that repeals a section of that law. So members might want to remove that as well.
Okay. I'll move that we delete 8.9. And that's the entire line. Is that correct, Mr. Sullivan?
Mr. Chair, that's correct.
All right. Thank you. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Okay, that is the amendment, the A3 amendment. I'm going to renew my motion that the A3, well, excuse me, I'm going to stop. Anybody would like to testify for or against this amendment as amended? Everybody's sleeping. That's good. Ah, seeing someone make their way up front. Welcome. Please state your name for the record, who you represent, and begin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. My name is Kirk Kadelk. I'm the legislative director for the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, and I wanted to just quick touch on two issues that you have heard testimony from agency previously, and that we still have some concerns with Section 42 of the bill on page 6.3, dealing with the winter feeding and pasture rules and how it conflicts and puts us in opposition to the federal regulations that we are required to carry out. And then just again to echo Department of Ag's commitment to keep working on the pesticide sections. As mentioned, we are closer than we were before, and a solution is within sight, hopefully.
Okay. Any questions for the testifier? Hearing none. Thank you. All right. Any further discussion to the amendment as amended? Is that you, Representative Swazinski? Do you have a... All right. Then I'm going to renew my motion that the A3 amendment passes as amended, or the A3 amendment. Did you get that? Move the A3 amendment as amended. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. All right. To the bill as amended, 1611. Ms. Gauthier, could you please come make your way back up here? Ms. Harmon. Civil law, with those provisions in here, asking Ms. Harmon to come back here, I got a quick question for you. With the provisions in here, with referring to 18J, this is going to take us through civil law committee.
Civil law? And Tori can hear this today and tomorrow. Okay.
Okay. So here's the... what we're up against here. Senate does not have that in their provision or in their bill. They sent it right on through. If we leave this in here, civil law is not scheduled to meet here the next 2 days. We would then have to go through rules committee and then back to civil law if we keep those provisions in here, which will be next week, maybe, if they can get us on the agenda. So my question to the department is, how important is it to have those provisions in here? I'm happy to do that. I'm not going to guarantee that we can get it through the process, but if that's something the department is in extreme need of, we'll walk it through the process, like I said at the very beginning.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Greta Gauthier, Department of Agriculture. Thank you for asking for input on this. This is your bill, Mr. Chairman, and you can move it as you see fit through the process. We would, of course, prefer to keep the language that is in the bill right now, expressly because on the Senate side, for logistical reasons, it did have to come out. In terms of prioritizing which is more important than any other piece, I think, the department can continue to operate without any of this, but this would help us streamline and reduce costs and be more efficient. I would note to you, as I have noted to your staff already several days ago, that Section 1 regarding the indemnification, that is an issue that is of some importance to Minnesota counties. I spoke with their representative earlier today. I do not see her in the room. I know she is hopping between several different committees right now, trying to keep abreast of everything that's happening. But she did reiterate to me her desire that stay there. It's the result of a lot of negotiation and work between us and the Association of Counties, the individual counties, as we had discussed earlier yesterday when Mr. Buzicki was here. So I'm not sure if that would, if that section would require you to go to civil law, Mr. Chairman, or not.
I think what we'll do is, because it's not in, in the Senate bill, I'll do our due diligence to move this through. I'll talk with the chair of civil law, and if the members don't have any concerns with that, and move it through the process intact.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
That way we can continue
that,
visiting on that. Okay, thank you. Any discussions to that, members? Any discussions to that? What we're going to do then, if I have one other amendment potentially, Ms. Harmon's taking a look at that. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to take a 15-minute recess is what we're going to do. And so let's see. We'll come back at about 25 till, okay? 15-minute recess. We're going to recess. Call the meeting back to order. Perfect timing with Mr. Sullivan. Okay, members, I'm going to ask Mr. Friso or the department, members from the department, to come back down here as well. Mr. Sullivan, we're going to have some changes here, my friend. With that amendment that you just brought together, let's hold off on, well, yeah, can I see a copy of that too, please? All right. There's a couple, oh, very nice. Okay, thank you. A couple of amendments that we're going to make, and one's going to be pretty extensive as far as an oral amendment here. Talking with the department and the whole civil law piece, working with you as far as working on this in the interim, we're going to be making some changes here. All right, members, thank you for bearing with us. The first amendment I'm going to make is an oral amendment on page 5. Representative Morrow, would you like to make that amendment, or?
Mr. Chair, on page 5, line 17, I move to strike the words "a penalty equal to." Therefore, Mr. Chair, it would read, must pay the required nursery stock dealer certificate fee.
Okay. That is on the bill itself, members. That's on page 5, lines 5.17 of the bill itself. Ms. Gauthier.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know if Representative Morrow's amendment is complete, but if that is your intention, you might also want to look at page 4, line 31, and do the same thing there to achieve your goal. Yes.
Mr. Chair, if I may, I would amend my amendment to include line 4.31, removes the words "a penalty equal to."
Okay.
Because it's not a penalty, Mr. Chair, that's being imposed. It's simply collecting the original fee.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Morrow. Any questions to that, members? So, Representative Poppy.
Sorry, Mr. Chair. So it's just eliminating those words, not inserting anything in replace.
Representative Morrow.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, Representative Poppy, I'm just removing those four words in both 4.31 and 5.17. That would avoid needing to go to civil law because we're not imposing a penalty.
All right. Any further discussion to the Morrow oral amendment? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you, Representative Morrow. Ms. Gauthier.
Mr. Chairman.
We have the changes that we're talking about. Would you feel comfortable, or Mr. Friso, would you feel comfortable walking through those? I'll make this amendment. So, Mr. Sullivan, we're going to make an oral amendment here, and it's going to line up with the Senate's as far as what they did when it comes to these. So if you would like to walk through the sections here quickly yet thoroughly, and then I'll make the motion to delete those sections. Mr. Friesel.
Yeah, we'll start, Mr. Chair, we'll start with section 11, which is 6.11.
Yeah.
And there are the whole series of sections. It's section 11 through 25. I don't know if you want me to go through them one by one.
No, I don't. I just want to make sure that we have
Well, sections 11 through 25, and I like brevity myself. all deal with eliminating enforcement language from the grain bonding statutes and moving and referencing that enforcement requirements to 18J.
Okay, so it'd be Section 11, 6.11 through Section 25, 10.22. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
And just to be clear, we're not eliminating our enforcement capability. We're just leaving the law as it currently stands with our enforcement duties outlined in multiple chapters.
Okay. Thank you.
And, Mr. Chair, the next sections that reference changes in enforcement language begins under Section 31, which is on page 15.26, and that goes through Section 34, which ends at 17.25. So that would need to be eliminated.
Section 34 at 17.25?
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Okay.
The next section is Section 38, beginning on line 20.18 through 20.26.
Okay.
And then the next is Section 39 at 20.27 through 21.15. And then, Mr. Chair and members, the last section is the repealer section, Section 45, and it's subdivision A needs to strike everything except, and I did not write it down, the...
except the 232.24.
That's correct, Mr. Chair. We want
subdivision
to retain
three.
Repealing that because that references a program that no longer exists at the department.
Okay. So, members, I'm going to repeat this. Okay. So, Mr. Sullivan, I'm going to move that we strike Section 11 through Section 25, starting on lines 6.11 through lines 10.22. Also strike Section 31 through 34, starting on lines 15.26 through 17.25. Strike Section 38, 20.18 through 20.26. Section 39, 20.27 through 21.15. And Section 35, we will strike, 45, strike lines 23.10 through 23.11, excluding, and this is where I may need your help, Mr. Sullivan, excluding 232.24 subdivision 3. Mr. Sullivan.
Mr. Chairman,
Scott,
sorry to interrupt you. Our staff attorney has just alerted us to something.
Okay.
If we can go back to Section 39 on page 20, line 27.
Mr. Chair, members, this is a section we would like to preserve. That does is language that is no longer needed, that should be struck and does not deal with enforcement.
Okay.
Right.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, we'd like to leave it as it currently stands.
Okay.
It does not have to do with enforcement.
Okay. So I withdraw strike in Section 39, lines 20.27 through 21.15.
Mr. Chairman, once again, this section deals with the grain... grain services we used to provide at our facility in Duluth, which we stopped doing 5 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. So we want to delete this reference to it so that the statute is clear that we no longer provide this service.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Sullivan.
Mr. Chair, just a note on the repealer amendment. I think your intention is to repeal only Minnesota Statutes 2010, Section 232.24, Subdivision 3. So I think the motion would be page 23, line 10, delete everything after 2010, comma, and insert section. Page 23, line 11, delete 231.035, semicolon, 231.28, semicolon, and then retain 232.24, subdivision 3, and then delete 232.25 and 236.09R and insert is.
Thank you, Mr. Sullivan.
Right. So that's where that throws in.
Okay. Any questions on that, members? Any questions on that? Hearing none, all those in favor of the oral amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Okay, thank you. I am not going to offer up the A7 amendment at this time because that's going to take us into some other issues as well. We'll work on that, bring it up on the House floor. Any discussions to the bills, member? Anybody like to testify for or against it? Seeing none, I will renew my motion that House File 1611 as amended be recommended to pass and be placed on the general register. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you, members. We are adjourned.